各位同学，大家好。
Good morning, everyone.
我们好像也是每年一年一度的讲座。因为我来这边的时间大概也只有讲一堂课而已，所以呢，应该是一年一度吧。
So it usually turns out that it's once a year.That I get a chance to come here and share with everyone and give a Dharma talk.
Okay. 那每年呢都有不同的题目，但是呢发现到说哦，我们讲的大概都会有很多的相同的内容啊，因为就讲禅修嘛，讲生活啊，然后有时候是想。修行的一些观念啊，然后也有谈一些这个方法，然后当然就是包括了日常生活中用的一些方法那所以呢我不知道说大家听了有没有真正能够用啊，那如果是只是听听的话当然也不错了，反正每年见一次面我们算是聊聊天吧那如果是听了有用的话当然就是那个受用是你自己的因为别人跟我们分享呢，那我们分享了以后，那么当然是自己可以受用。那如果我们呢听了别人的分享，但是呢自己没有去受用它还是回到那个讲的人的身上去分享的人自己去受用所以这么下来呢就还是要看你们自己本身
And since it's really just I have this chance for one Dharma talk per year hereAnd the content is usually quite similar, you know, chan practice, daily life practice, and I'm sure that over these years the content there's overlap. It's pretty much the same, and I don't know if you find it useful, and if you come here and you listen and you apply it, you may get something out of it, find that's very useful.And maybe you're not really using it or applying it, but you come to listen. That's not too bad either. It's kind of just like we're having this dialogue here, just having a chat. So not too bad if you just came to listen over all these years. And, but whether or not you get benefit, it's really up to you. If you listen, you find that it's useful and you apply it, then you can get benefit. If you don't use it, then it just turns out that it's the speaker is the one that gets all the benefit.And the person sharing has their experience, they're using the practice, they get the benefit. So overall, whether or not you get benefit from these talks, it's all in your hands.
那么这次的题目呢是要怎么讲，就是说他们大概想用六祖慧能大师的这个方法在日常生活中用所以呢把这个题目定到又定啊又会啊能够在日常生活中用。那因为这句话呢就是六祖慧能大师讲，不过他讲的方法是叫做定慧一体那么定慧一体的话呢，那我们说即定即慧基本上观念是有相同的。那么一般上呢，我们谈到这个修行我们讲这个修行直观的法门，大概都会有一些次第。比如说，我们可能会想先讲这个修止，然后呢再谈这个修观，然后才进入到说直观双运。好，那么我们现在讲的又有点像说是直观双运。那到中国禅宗的时候呢，那六祖慧能大师呢就讲定慧一体那这些情况呢 在修行的这个过程中啊，它不是直接能够啊发生，多数是需要啊有这个次第的用功修行，然后呢有了啊对这些方法呢都非常熟悉了，那大概才能够啊做得那么好。好，那我们平时呢大概也只能够学习啊，学习着怎么去做，但是呢在日常生活中，我们讲日常生活中的修行啊，它如果我们只是听了在日常生活中想办法要去做它，大概会比较不容易啊。那因为呢如果你没有经过实际的这个用功，实际的这个禅修的方法的运作啊，乃至呢对这个在这个禅修过程中有一些啊好的体验，那么要那么直接的啊把这个止和观或者是定和慧结合在一起在日常生活中用，那么还是不太容易的啊。即使呢我们可以啊了解它的这个运作，但是呢啊真正实际上在运作的时候呢，还是必须要有啊实际用功。那么这个实际用功呢，多数呢必须要参与这个禅修的课程啊，尤其是这个密集的课程啊。
So for today's topic, we see that the topic is that samadhi or concentration is wisdom. And when they picked this topic, they probably were thinking of Chan Master Hui Neng, the sixth patriarch, because within his teachings, he talks about the samadhi and wisdom being of one essence. So similar in phrasing, and in general, this concept is based on the fact that one can directly, simultaneously cultivate this wisdom and samadhi, or realize that samadhi and wisdom are one essence. And if we look at teachings of Chinese Buddhism, the Tendai school, other schools that teach about stilling the mind and then contemplation, with these practices of calming and contemplation, usually the practices are sequential. First one, then the other. First there's calming, then there's contemplation. And there's the sequence or progression through these practices. And there's also practices which combine the two. And you have the simultaneous practice of calming and contemplation. So these practices also existed in other teachings within Chinese Buddhism. And Master Hui Neng presented it in his own style, his own approach. And as far as really getting into this, one needs to have some experience with Chan practice, with meditation. One needs to really have a foundation of these basic practices of calming, stilling the mind, as well as have an understanding and grasp and be able to use practices of contemplation before one can really get into what this means to have samadhi and wisdom, or concentration and wisdom at the same time. So in order to have this genuine experience, and then on top of that, to be able to practice it in daily life, that's another matter altogether. Because to be able to cultivate this very direct approach in daily life, one has to have a solid foundation and also quite a good experience with intensive practice. And in order to have this experience, one really needs to have attended intensive retreats and to use these methods in a very concentrated and isolated way, so that after having this basic foundation of these practices and after having a strong, deep experience, then then in daily life, one would be able to understand how to apply this direct approach of the simultaneity of concentration and wisdom.
那我们在参修的这个方法运作的时候呢，我们有讲修止、修观啊，然后才这个止观双运。那么在一般的这个参修里面呢，我们会比较注重修止的这个部分，然后呢到止成就了以后，我们才做这个观想。实际上在修止的时候呢，我们也已经有观的这个部分啊。那修止里面的这个观的作用呢，它比较着重在所谓的观照，就是很清楚的知道。那么因为呢，我们在修止的时候呢，一定有这种所谓的专注，然后还有这个觉照的作用啊。那么这两个作用呢，已经是止和观。但是呢，在修止方法运作的时候呢，我们会比较注重说这个所谓的观，它的功能是在清楚的这个觉照啊。那么用这样的一个方法的这个运作呢，我们专注和觉照它如果是能够统一的话，那么就能够达到这个止。因为止本身一定有清楚的这个觉照的这个功能在，假如没有这个功能的话呢，那我们这个所谓的止呢，它可能就是无想的或者是我们所谓无记的一种状态。那它这样的一种情况呢，当然就表面上看起来是定了，但是呢它的这个心因为无想了，所以就没有什么功能了。那么如果是连这个清醒也没有，这个止的功夫也不在的话，就是一种昏昧啊。那这个当然就禅修的时候可能会发现那个完全就不是在用功的状态。那用功的止呢，它是含有这个觉照，那如果是没有觉照的话呢，它就是一种无想定或者是无记性的那种状态。那所以我们知道说止和观啊，那么在修止的时候呢，其实已经含有这个清楚觉照，也就是某种观的这个功能在。但是呢，在这个状态里面呢，比较注重在把心安定下来收摄。那是因为要对治我们平时的状态。我们平时呢，大概心都很散很粗啊。那心很散的话，就是表示说我们的心不安定不能专注。那如果是心很粗，就表示我们的心不敏锐就是这个照的功能它比较弱，虽然有但是它不明显或者不强或者是有但是呢它因为心散，所以呢它是很散的状态，那很容易呢被这个外境转的。所以我们修止的时候呢，要特别对治这种我们现实身心的这种状态，要先对治它。所以呢我们都要用先用止的方法来用功。那么止的话呢，就含有这个专注跟觉照，这个时候照也是一种观不过它的重点呢放在清楚。那么这个过程呢，就是要磨我们的心一方面呢把我们的心从粗慢慢从这个很散慢慢凝聚让它能够集中。那么另外呢，慢慢把这个比较粗的心磨砺一点，让它这个照的功能能够清楚了或者是安定了那再能够从这个照呢转为一种所谓的观想那个时候也是一种观。不过这个时候呢，因为有这个想的功能，就是一种思维，那么这个思维呢就思维这个法义，就是思维这个因缘生因缘灭的这个法义，那么这样它才能够发这个智慧。所以实际上在用功的时候呢，我们都没有离开止和观，或者是所谓的这个专注觉照，或者是所谓的默和照的这个方法的，或者是我们这种心的功能的这个运作那只是在修行的次第呢，因为先要做这个对治的作用，所以我们这个方法呢某种程度上它会比较偏这个止的部分但是呢我们也同时知道说，止里面假如没有观没有照的话，它就不是真正的止 好。
So with this practice of calming and contemplation, as we mentioned, it's usually taken up in a sequential way, where one first practices calming and then practices contemplation. Again, only later would one then be able to grasp how they can be done simultaneously. And in the beginning, when one is practicing calming, the emphasis is on taking one's mind and calming it on one object or on one place. And with this kind of practice, the emphasis is on collecting the mind and stabilizing it. And although at this time when one is cultivating calming, there's still essentially contemplation present. But at this time, when the emphasis is on calming, the contemplation is really just an awareness, a clarity of mind, so that with practicing calming, one is concentrating the mind, but with this concentration, there also has to be an awareness present, or a clarity that one is using this method. Because if there wasn't this clarity or awareness when one is practicing calming, there's a pitfall, which is that because there's no clarity, the mind could either slip into a state of what we call incognizance or blankness, or slip into a state of a samadhi without any perception, or a deep absorption, a state of deep absorption where there's no perception. There's really no functioning of the mind. So with these two states, this state of incognizance or blankness is really completely lacking in clarity, and the mind is just sunken. So when one is cultivating the calming practice, it still includes this contemplation or this basic awareness that one is using the method. And with this awareness, the mind can be stabilized, but at the same time, its clarity is also increasing. So one is developing this stable and clear mind. And when this practice of calming has matured to the point where the mind is stilled, in a state of stillness yet clarity, then what one does and goes on to practices of contemplation, where the emphasis would be on contemplation, in that there's a practice of subtle thinking or reflective thinking, where one reflects on the Dharma or the teachings. One reflects on this teaching of causes, causes and conditions, the very nature of this conditional arising. With a calm and stable mind, when one reflects in this way, then this is cultivating this, more so this practice of contemplation. So when one does this practice of contemplation, though, stillness has to be present. Otherwise, one's mind would be scattered. This would be a scattered thinking mind. And it's important to note that there has to be this balance with these practices. And in the beginning, calming is really an antidote to our normal state of mind, which is a state of mind that is quite scattered. You know, usually our mind is, we're aware, but when we're aware, we're often influenced by what we're aware of. We're disturbed or affected by what we're aware of, our environment and so forth. And then in this way, the mind becomes scattered and agitated. So in the beginning, it's very important to first establish this stillness of mind. And to do that, one makes use of calming practices. And while one is calming the mind, it's still important to note that there must be this awareness, which is really an aspect of contemplation. So with these practices, we are cultivating concentration and awareness, or it can be also called samadhi and wisdom, or we can refer to it as silence and illumination. And what we're working on is developing a balance of these qualities of mind.
那如果我们的心还是比较散漫的状态，那么虽然我们有某一些这个照的作用，但是它因为不清楚可能是不安定所以它的这个清楚的程度应该也不 不是很高。那么如果是这种情况呢，我们要想说来修这个又有定又有慧的这个方法，然后把它直接在日常生活中用。当然这个是非常不容易的。不过呢，因为禅法呢，禅宗呢，因为谈这个顿悟的方法，然后也有很多禅师呢，他们开悟过后因为要对治一些学生长期在这个禅定中或者是定的状态里面用功，甚至有时候呢入比较深的定或者是有时候呢太强调这个禅定，然后包括有一些我们看到的说入这个无记的状态，所以有时候有些禅师呢他会用这个对治的方法所以对治呢他就是有人修这个禅法或者是偏在止的时候呢，那么禅师呢会对治这个止就是说有一些人停滞了，然后他没有把这个让这个禅法的修行能够更好的结合，那他就会告诉这些弟子你们不要修禅定或者是这个智慧或者禅不在这个定的方法里面。那么因为有人有一些禅师呢他为了对治所以可能讲了这样的一些话，所以又说这个禅法呢是顿悟的，然后就在日常生活中就可以开悟了。所以我们也有一些修禅的人呢就认为他们可以不用修行他们直接呢从日常生活中那么就可以修到这个所谓又有定又有慧的然后或者是说他就可以悟到了。那么所以有些讲到这个禅修的时候呢，他们就认为说不需要修这个禅定，然后呢直接就可以开悟所以也就会用他们所谓的一些认为顿悟的这个方法呢来也不算修行，他认为不用修了嘛，因为如果从佛法的角度来看，就是说我们的心本来就是清净的嘛，那何必还要再修它呢那么修来的就不是真正的那个清净的功能。那么当然这些呢都是禅法里面会出现的一些状况，那么在这种状况出现的时候呢，如果我们不是很了解这个禅师他在说这个方法的时候，或者是他是不是在对治某个学生或者是这个学生是不是出了一些状况，那么这个禅师为了要帮他那么讲了一些类似这样的一种话，那我们就执着这些说法呢是完全的，是完整的，也就是说他这个说法呢就是代表全部了是绝对的，那所以他们就会用这个方式。所以有一些人呢在禅修的时候呢他也不学打坐，然后他也认为说不需要以前的禅师也没有在打坐中开悟的吗？有些不是在日常生活中就开悟了吗？然后还有禅师告诉我们说禅不在定中然后只要我们时时用心，但是怎么用心可能他也不知道，那大概就可以开悟了所以有些人就认为说我们可以直接在日常生活中那么大概修一修，或者甚至不用修，因为本来具足嘛，那就只要见到了，那怎么见他可能也不知道，那他就认为说他就可以了。那如果是有这种情况的话呢，那也可能就是误解了有一些禅师的这个用心所以这两边我们大概都要先理清一下这样子呢我们在这个方法应用的时候，或者是我们在修行的这个次第上才会比较清楚。
So with this practice of calming and contemplation, again, it's usually taken up in a progressive way and developed emphasizing either concentration or contemplation, calming or contemplation, and eventually then being able to apply it simultaneously. But again, if one were to not go through this process of sitting meditation, formal practices, developing these qualities of stillness and awareness, or concentration and awareness, then for one to really apply such a practice of just samadhi being wisdom, this sameness of samadhi and wisdom in daily life, is actually very difficult. However, some people mistakenly believe that, well, it's not so difficult. And they may read teachings of Chan masters, like Chan Master Huineng. It's a perfect example where he addressed his students with certain teachings directed at trying to resolve some of their problems. And so the way he taught in many instances is really just directed towards a certain audience. Oftentimes the audience were these monastic practitioners, these monks or nuns who were cultivating for years and years and engaging in intensive meditation practice, cultivating oftentimes deep states of concentration, again, samadhi. And other times these people were meditators, but they were getting into problems or situations where their mind was sinking into this incognizance or blankness. And so with these students having these problems or situations, Master Huineng's teachings or advice were directed towards them. And so we often see things where Master Huineng would say, you know, enlightenment has nothing to do with samadhi. Or Chan practice has nothing to do with sitting meditation, or that real practice is actually in daily life. And, you know, it doesn't depend on sitting there on the cushion. And things like this, he'd give these expedient teachings or these, you know, skillful means to help these people pull themselves out of their either fixation on deep concentration or just being sunken in a state of blankness. So these teachings were really meant for a specific audience who had specific conditions. And however, some people misunderstand that, and they take these expedient means to equal the whole of Chan practice or the whole of Buddha Dharma. So they may think that, oh, well, Master Huineng said it, you know, there's no need to do sitting meditation. Then I don't need to meditate. I don't need to practice. I just, in daily life is my practice. And these people, although they say this, again, because they haven't cultivated the stability and clarity of mind, and clarity of mind may not be so sharp at all. So in daily life, although they say that their daily life is just practice, they may not really know how to go about doing it. Or they say that, you know, for enlightenment, you don't need to enter into samadhi, you just see your nature. You just see it, and you wake up to it. Then if you were to ask them, well, how do you see it? They may say, well, I don't know. They're really not sure how to go about doing it. So in this situation, this would be a mistaken view that, you know, these expedient teachings equal the whole of Chan or the whole of Buddha Dharma. Rather, they're really specific teachings for people in specific situations. And oftentimes, these people had already cultivated a very solid foundation of calming and contemplation.
所以呢，我们知道，要在日常生活中修行用功啊，甚至能够啊定和慧一体的这个应用，那么我们还是必须要通过实际的用功。那么实际的用功呢，啊，当然就是啊，我们要回到这个密集的这个禅修课程，因为密集的禅修课程呢，我们才能够很完整的去把握啊整体的这个修行的次第，还有呢在用功的过程中才有足够的时间呢去实习啊，去练习这些方法，然后从这个实习练习的过程中那么有所体验。好，那这个体验呢， 如果我们能够继续一直保持我们对这个方法呢越来越熟悉，那么才能够从静态中用功，密集禅修的课程里面的用功，然后慢慢的延伸到我们的日常生活里面去啊。所以啊，日常生活怎么用功，其实呢就必须要看我们在啊这个禅修课程里面怎么去学这个方法。那如果是我们在禅修课程里面呢没有学习到方法，或者是我们完全没有这个禅修的课程的参与啊，然后呢我们就想说在日常生活中动态中我就能够用功，那当然是非常困难的啊，因为你没有实际的体验，你甚至没有办法呢觉察到自己的心它是不是宁聚，是不是安定的，然后自己的心是不是很清楚的能够觉照啊。因为呢我们的心平时呢是根据随着我们前面的这个五根五种感觉作用呢去对这个外境产生各种的这个认识了别，然后呢才做出这个回应。那么当然这个过程里面呢我们还是知道一些东西，有一种觉知的这个作用，但是呢因为心它是不安定的，所以有时候这个觉知呢它有点模糊，或者是有时候这个觉知呢它有点点有一种好像我们所谓支离破碎，就是不完整的一块一块的不清楚的那么这种状态，那么这种状态的话呢你说它不是照吗？它还是有一种觉知的作用，可是我们所谓的照呢是整体的，它又没有。那么那如果是身心在碰到这种情况的时候很快就随着这个外境呢去转，那么根本就没有凝聚，没有安定，那这个是我们平时的这个状态。那如果我们还是处在这个状态的时候，我们怎么样把这个又所谓既定既会，就是定和会都在运作的那个过程，或者是那个功夫呢所以呢这个非常清楚的就知道说，如果我们真正想要能够把这个日常生活的这个修行方法，尤其是能够把定慧结合起来运作的话呢，那么它一定要回到这个禅修的重心就是密集课程的这种学习，那么参与。那如果是我们平时也参加一些这个短期的课程，或者是我们有这个初级禅训的课程，那我们学了一些方法，那么这些方法都非常的基础当然你回去在日常生活中用也基本上没有问题，但是要能够把这个功夫用到说定和慧能够一体的运作，那真的是很不容易的我们也不能说没有能够做到的人，因为这个修禅的人这个根基程度都不一样，可能就有立根的人听了以后他回去就懂得用了那但是呢我们发现大部分的我们呢这个还是要乖乖的坐下来用功所以这个部分呢我们一定要先清楚，那不然的话呢就我们都以为说哎呀这个反而都是这样子就对了，然后反正日常生活，那我们自己讲日常生活在用功，可是实际上呢是不是能够用得上方法，是不是真正能够用功我们大多数的人叫做心里有数了
So again, to really be able to experience this samadhi and wisdom in daily life, we have to return to the basic fundamentals of practice and really apply these practices of calming and contemplation. And to do that, the best way, of course, is to attend intensive practice retreats or just meditation retreats where you can devote this specific period of time, completely concentrate your energies and focus on learning the method, learning how to apply the method. You learn the concepts, you learn how to use it, and you also have experience with this whole process of meditation and the whole process of developing these aspects of concentration and awareness. And then after having this frequent experience on meditation retreats, then you'd be able to gradually incorporate this into your daily life and find out how to use the method in all different circumstances, how to adjust your approach of using the method according to these various conditions that you face in daily life. So it's important to really to note that we have to do the basics of the practice. And really, the core of that practice begins with sitting meditation. And the best way to develop that is on meditation retreat. If we didn't do that, if we just kind of skipped over that and felt that, well, we can just do it in daily life, just be aware. And we say that you can be aware or have this clarity, but oftentimes we may feel that our mind is clear. We have a certain degree of clarity, but oftentimes this clarity is really broken. It's broken because our mind is often scattered, and there's this a lot of agitation in the mind. And when the mind's awareness, either it gets pulled to a specific object or a specific sensation, a specific experience, and we talk about our five senses or six senses contacting the six objects, sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, thought. When our body and our mind contact the environment, there's a certain degree of awareness, there's a certain degree of understanding. And at the same time, though, when we're aware of something, when we know what something is, the mind is often disturbed by it, affected by it. And in this way, it's really not so clear, because that clarity is very scattered and broken. So this clarity is often broken, scattered, and individual, only able to be aware of individual objects at a certain time, rather than being a total awareness, a totality of being aware of one's overall experience. So with this kind of awareness, to really practice this wisdom and samadhi directly in daily life, it's very difficult. However, we know that certain people, everyone has a different capacity of learning, a different capacity to grasp the practice and the teachings. So some people may just hear about this sudden approach to practice or sudden approach to enlightenment, and they're able to just make use of it very directly. Whereas, you know, these people are quite rare and have just this developed this potential already over their previous experiences. So for us, for most of us, it's really important to just follow the procedure, or be good practitioners and follow the rules, basically starting with the foundation of practice, starting with calming and contemplation, the sequential practice, which is developed mostly within the context of retreat and the context of sitting in meditation, sitting meditation.
那因为我们平时呢，身心大部分都处在动态，那动态的过程里面呢，大概身心比较难，不能够真正的安定下来。但实际上呢，在动态中，假如你懂得运作这个方法，也就是所谓默合照、止合观的这个方法，然后包括定和慧的这个方法呢，在应用的话，那么能够用得好啊，当然也是能够达到这个所谓定慧一体的这个作用。那我们还是知道说，静态用功它是整个参修的这个中心啊，中心点所在。那么要真正能够在静态中用功，用得上方法，当然就是坐禅，然后呢就是这个密集的这个禅修的课程，那基本上我们都知道是这样子。然后我们也发觉到说，即使呢我们进入到这个静态用功，然后还有呢就是我们参加这个密集的课程，那么静态用功它可以是重心的部分，但是呢它不是全部，因为我们大部分的时间还是要在动态中，包括我们在参修的时候呢，我们还是要有很多这个动态的生活啊，除了止静用功以外，那么还有很多动态的生活。那在动态生活中，那我们也会学习所谓动态用功的这个方法啊。 那么这个动态用功的方法如果是在密集课程里面用，可能我们比较容易用得上，一方面是因为有静态的功夫作为这个基础啊，那另外呢是因为在禅修课程里面呢，我们在一个比较安定的环境，然后生活呢过得比较放松啊，然后整个共修的气氛帮助我们呢在动态中也能够继续保持身心安定放松跟凝聚的这个状态。所以那个时候呢我们还是发现到说这个动态中用功呢还是可以经常或者是很多时间保持在这种用功的状态。那么有了这样子的一个练习，可能我们对这个方法熟悉了，我们再把它应用到生活中，那么生活中我们就能够保持这个定慧或者是默照的这个功夫在运作的时候，然后过我们的这个日常的生活。那么所以我们知道呢，所谓的在日常生活中要保持这个即定即慧的这个状态，或者是默照的这个功夫在运作呢，实际上就是所谓的在动态中用功。好，那么在静态中用功的时候呢，我们发现我们会把大部分的重点放在静啊，然后身心因为安定了嘛然后就能够比较注重在这个专注，然后让心真正的能够止下来就是心处在一种很凝聚很安定的这个状态，但是同时呢保持这个觉照。所以呢默合照的这个功能这个作用都还在，因为这两个功能呢实际上就是我们的心本然性的这个作用来的，只是因为我们的杂染很多了，所以这个作用呢不能够发挥出来，那我们必须要在定中让心呢专注在这个方法上面用专注和觉照的这个作用，其实就是默合照的这个功能来运作这个方法。那么运作这个方法的时候呢，假如我们这个方法用得很好，那么这两个功能就会更好的发挥它的作用。那么如果是在止境中能够这样子发挥的话，我们再把这个功能放到这个动态中去运作，那我们发觉到说也能够用得上。那么在禅修的课程里面能够用得上，我们再把它延伸到日常生活中，那我们就能够更好的去把握它用得上去。因为动态毕竟是我们生活比较主要的这个部分静态还是我们日常生活中比较少的状态来的都是动态比较多。所以如果是在动态中我们也能够保持这个功夫那当然就是能够做到在日常生活中修这个默照或者是修这个定慧。那如果是我们呢完全没有这个基础，那我们就想在日常生活中这样子用的话大概很难因为你对定和慧或者是默和照的状态可能也不清楚不清楚的话我们就没有办法用它。那么我们要清楚呢，就发现到说你要先静下来，然后能够让自己呢这个心的这种功能通过这个方法的运作能够很好的慢慢的发挥出来，那我们才能够去更好的去运作它。所以这个过程呢是我们都必须要经过的，或者是如果我们真的是要在日常生活中用功用得很好，甚至呢不止用得很好，包括你在日常生活中也可能会有开悟的体验身心统一的体验开悟的体验，那不会是你什么方法都没有用什么课程都没有参加，那么它就突然间发生了这种事情那这样子的话呢是非常意外的那么这种意外呢好像还没有听过
So it is possible to cultivate samadhi and wisdom in one's daily life within the midst of movement and activity of daily life. However, it's really based on this foundation of practice in stillness. This practice of stillness referring to not only sitting meditation, but retreat practice. again, because retreat practice, the core of retreat practice is sitting meditation. And one has many periods of sitting meditation to work on the method, this method of, we can call, concentration and awareness. We can also describe it as silence and illumination, or silent illumination. And on retreat, one has a chance to do this within sitting meditation and really get familiar with how to develop these qualities of concentration and awareness and how to balance them. And when one is able to use them on the cushion, then one now can extend it to the other activities in retreat. Actually, with Chan retreat, there is quite a lot of period of movement and activity. It's not all sitting. You know, there's, of course, other things that we do on retreat, exercise, you know, even having a meal or doing what needs to be done to live in that environment. However, the retreat environment is unique in that it's a completely isolated environment, a very stable and tranquil environment, which allows us to really devote all of our efforts to just focusing on this method, just focusing on silent illumination, and forgetting about any other things that have to do with our daily life or any other distractions. So in this context, we're able to get familiar with the method on the cushion, and then get familiar with the method in movement, in activity, and how to really balance this subtle awareness and concentration within activity. And when one can do that on retreat, then one finds that after retreat, when you go back to daily life, it's then possible to apply this same approach within the various activities of daily life. Again, in daily life, we have very limited time for sitting in meditation, just being still. Most of the time, most of our daily life is activity, movement, engagement. So during these times, only if one can establish this concentration and awareness with this basic practice of sitting, retreat practice, then it becomes more possible in daily life to extend this silent illumination to all activities. If there were a person who could just forget about all this fundamental practice, forget about sitting meditation, they don't have to do retreat, and they just say, well, I could experience this samadhi and wisdom in daily life. I could experience unification in daily life, or unification of mind, or enlightenment. If that were the case, that would really be something rare, or actually accidental. And actually, to this point, I haven't ever heard of such an accidental case like that.
所以呢，我们要在日常生活中用功。 当然我们可以通过这个禅修的方法的练习，然后慢慢的加强。不过呢，我们也可以在日常生活中，在动态中练习。这个练习呢，一般上呢，我们只能够比较表层的一种练习的方法。比如说，我们平时呢，在 生活中有一些比较简单的这个动作，那我们尝试一下，看看说，在这么一些简单的动作里面呢，我们是不是能够非常的专心，在那个身心运动的当下，然后非常清楚的知道自己所有的这个动作，然后在做这个事情的时候呢，我们的心是处在一种很安定的状态，也就是说，我们非常清楚自己 身心的整个动作的同时呢，我们的心是很安定的。那如果你发现到说，在日常生活中练习这样的一个方法呢，好像也可以做得到，那你就加强，不断的练习。那么，多数时候呢，我们会发觉到说，如果我们完全没有这个止境用功的这个基础，然后在平常的时候呢，我们要能够完全 专注在自己的动作上面，而且很清楚的知道自己的动作，它好像不太容易，因为这个妄念很容易就被分散了，尤其是我们的五根同时在接触这个五尘，啊， 所以呢就好像我们的这个心的这个作用呢它不太能够专注，一般上都会分散啊。但是如果你想要练习的话，当然可以练习。那么用这种方式练习呢，我们发现到说啊，常常呢我们会很短的时间可能有某种程度的这个专注，但是可能很快心就散掉了啊，因为这个心不熟悉这个凝聚的状态，不熟悉这个专注在某个动作的那个清楚的状态啊，所以用这样的方式呢，当然你在练习的时候可以看看自己能不能够做到，那能够做到就继续的练习。那么一般上呢我们会在日常生活中你要保持比如说定和慧某种程度能够相应的，我们在心理上啊，或者是我们在比较内在的这个心的功能作用上面呢，要提一个正念啊。所以为什么在比如说中国佛教的这个传统里面呢这个所谓念佛的法门那么流行啊，就是因为呢你没有办法完全专注自己的动作，因为没有禅修的这个经验的话呢，那么你就先在心里面提一个正念啊，用这个正念呢来帮助你啊，帮助你就是不管什么时候呢你都一直记得要把心收回来。收回在哪里呢？收回在一个正念。那么这个正念呢能够让你很有一个很具体的这个念在那边啊，然后又能够让你随时可以回来。那么随时可以回来意思就是说你发现到心散掉了，没有专注的时候啊，没有定和慧的功能的时候呢，你一觉察就能够再回到一个方法或者是一个很具体的这个专注的点，那么你就可以再把这个正念或者是专注的功能提起来。所以一般上就是用这个念佛的方法。所以中国佛教呢它这个方法呢会变成那么普遍，基本上它就是含有这种日常生活中你随时随处可以提起来的。那么在藏传佛教呢，他们也是持这个大明咒，所有的人基本上他们都在用这个方法啊，包括小朋友啊或者是老人家啊，他即使没有禅修没有什么，他们也是用这个方法。那他们有时候还用这个所谓转经轮嘛，对。那我们中国佛教呢就用这个念珠嘛，对。那么这些方法呢都是说帮助你，那么在任何一个状态里面有一个念啊，一个正念让你可以随时回来。那么你随时回来的时候呢，不管你当时的身心处在什么状态啊，很散漫的状态也好，或者是你已经这个情绪很波动了，或者是你那个时候呢有很多的这个苦恼烦恼啊，你其实没有办法呢用其他的方法呢来对治它或者是来调和它。那么你只有一个方法，就是说你把心收回到这个所谓的这个念佛的这个方法上来。那么在南传佛教呢，他们有所谓的四念处啊，念这个身，念这个受啊。那么这个念呢实际上就是回到他那个身或者是受的这种觉照，也就是任何一个时刻呢都要能够这样子回来。那么这样子的话呢，我们的心随时随刻呢都保持在一种可以提起正念的那个状态。那么用这样的方法，我们才能够更好的去调我们的身心。假如我们完全没有禅修的经验的话，那么要让心能够随时随处呢都能够保持在某种正念上，那么一般上我们就会用这样的法门啊，也就是用念的法门。那么因为如果你完全没有那种说能够安住在自己的这个动作上，或者是这个外境在运作的时候你保持很清明的这个状态，你完全没有基础的话，大概很不容易做到。所以呢就会用这个念的方法所以我们才知道说不管什么系统的佛教呢，它都非常重视所谓的这个念的方法。
So when extending this practice of concentration and awareness to daily life. Again, because daily life is mostly activity, movement, doing a lot of things. So it's possible to extend this method and bring this approach to daily life. And however, if one were to just use this approach only, without this intensive retreat practice, as we mentioned, it's really only possible to get into it on a superficial level. It's quite difficult to get very deep into it. However, if one wishes to use this approach, then it's most applicable to situations that are very simple. Oftentimes in daily life, we're moving, we're doing something, but it's not so complicated. It's not so, it doesn't involve too much just complicated activity, something like walking or moving or cleaning. And we can apply this awareness and concentration to our movements. Movements of our body, how our body is interacting with the environment, just being very clear about that and being very aware of that. And in this way, one is cultivating this concentration, keeping the mind on our movements, and at the same time, awareness, very clearly aware of what we're doing. However, you may find that with this approach, again, without a strong foundation, with this moving meditation, it can be very difficult. Because while our senses are contacting their objects, when our mind contacts the environment, what happens oftentimes is that it's affected by it. Our mind is disturbed or moved by what we experience. And so the mind often becomes scattered. And it becomes scattered very quickly. We may not be aware of it. So we end up losing awareness, losing concentration, because we just don't have a strong enough foundation. So since this is the case, we see that within Chinese Buddhism, it's a common practice to use the method of mindfulness of the Buddha's name. With this practice of mindfulness, again, in relation to just moving meditation, simply awareness of movement, the mindfulness comes from having to remember to be aware of what we're doing. It's a thought that comes into mind, and which helps us to maintain awareness and prevent us from following this mental scatteredness. However, again, that can be quite difficult. So the practice of mindfulness of the Buddha's name is where we have a more concrete thought in mind. We generate this thought. We generate this mindfulness through reciting, through bringing the Buddha's name to mind. And a lot of you know that within Chinese Buddhism, we have the recitation of Amitabha Buddha or Amitofo. So while doing actually daily life activities, this method can also be used, where in the midst of doing whatever you're doing, you just have this mindfulness or this right thought, this name, Amitabha, that you bring to mind. That helps you to remember to have this calmness and clarity. And this thought, actually itself, bringing this thought to mind, is something which collects the mind and cultivates calmness and clarity. So within Chinese Buddhism, you have this method, and it's very often used by people who maybe they've never done sitting meditation, and maybe they have never done retreat, but they can still have this method, this recitation or mindfulness of the Buddha's name, that they can use at any time. Within the Tibetan tradition, we also know that there's the practice of reciting mantras and reciting the reciting Om Mani Padme Hum, which is very common within the Tibetan tradition. And then again, it's people who, from young kids to old folks who have never done meditation, maybe, that they also use this approach and keep this mindfulness or this awareness. And when they recite mantras, maybe they use things like prayer wheels or recitation wheels and even recitation beads. And the same thing goes, again, within the Chinese Buddhist tradition. People have recitation beads that they take with them all the time and use as they recite the Buddha's name to help them cultivate this mindful awareness at all times. Within the Theravada tradition or the southern traditions of Buddhism, we have mindfulness, or what's called the four foundations of mindfulness. And mindfulness here refers to returning one's awareness to the four objects of mindfulness: the body, sensation, one's mind or mental activity, and then all phenomenon or dharmas. And with this approach, it's really just a recollection or a returning to an awareness of body, sensation, mind, etc. And with this kind of practice, this is one way to go about doing it. But again, this is very similar to just moving meditation, where one simply has awareness of one's body and one's interaction with the environment. But you may find that this can be quite difficult without a strong foundation. And so therefore, we have these other methods, more concrete methods, to help develop this concentration and awareness and be able to maintain this stability of mind.
阿弥陀佛一出来的时候呢，你的心就定下来了。啊，然后呢，你在定下来的时候，原本你可能被干扰了，心有点啊这个散了，不清楚了，因为你被这个不善的因缘干扰了以后，可是阿弥陀佛一出来的时候，他马上提醒你，啊，你不能够跟着这个啊妄念转，也不能够跟着这个外境转，然后多念几声这个阿弥陀佛，可能就把这个心安定下来了。然后如果是你能够这样子用功的话，啊，即使呢开始你用功的时候有点是比较善心的状态在用，可是呢他却随时啊能够提醒你啊，那把这个心收回来。那么也有一些人可能他们平时呢也持咒语啊，甚至有一些持大悲咒。那么如果你持大悲咒呢，可以持到说你在任何一个时刻呢，大悲咒都会念的话，或者是心经都会念的话，它可能也可以产生这个作用。也就是说我们直接从心比较内在的功能，就是我们意识意根的作用里面呢去啊着手啊去下手。因为呢如果我们心没有经过这个啊训练啊，不太容易回到我们身体动态的这个那种过程啊，那个啊触觉或者是那个动态里面的话呢，那如果我们又要让自己的心有一个比较安定的功夫啊，或者是心能够知道说他要回到哪里啊，那基本上这个是一个蛮好的一个方法。那我们当然讲一个比较粗的这个譬喻哈，就是我们发现到有一些人哈，他从小到大可能参一些人习惯讲一些粗话，对不对啊？这个我们可能身边还有这样的人，他年纪很大了，他要讲话以前他一定要有一句粗话跑出来，他才能够把那个话带出来。那么这个也是一种长期熏习的功夫啊。哦，早期呢年轻的时候呢可能就是啊每次都这个样子，那如果我们用功用到这个程度的话呢，诶，也是真不错了。就是你每次什么事情发生你就阿弥陀佛先出来，然后才把后面的这个心念然后带出来的话，那大概 也可以达到这个效果吧。好，那既然这些人哦，你看那么老粗的人，他从小训练到他变成惯性了以后呢，他也变成是一种他的特色了。那如果我们念佛也念到这个功夫应该也可以做到吧。好，就是说你念佛念到说佛跟你呢已经很相应了，然后心里面很多的念都是佛念，那么在任何一个时刻呢这个佛先跑出来，那么这样子呢可能功夫就可以用上去。所以我们发现说那么这个身心那么粗的人啊，他用那个坏习惯也可以用成一种惯性了，然后好像也变成是他的一个特色的话，那我们用念佛的方法应该也可以做到啊。即使呢你没有那么专心在用啊，开始用功的时候可能是比较善心的状态，可是慢慢呢把这个念佛念成了一种说是一种习惯也好吧啊，那么习惯成自然，那慢慢的它就变得很自然的一种行为，那可能它也可以发挥到很大的这个作用。所以这个方法呢在我们日常生活中用功，其实呢是可以让我们啊在运作的过程中把这个定和慧的作用啊摩诃照的功能也能够发挥出来。所以如果你发现说自己本身啊没有什么因缘，或者是可能你也想说哎呀打坐太辛苦了，那我是不是可以用简单一点的方法啊，不用打坐的方法，那么大概这个方法可以用。但是呢要完全靠这个方法来达到说真正是定慧一体然后默照同时，大概还不是很容易啊。不过它可能可以帮助到我们的，就是在平常生活中能够经常保持在比较正念比较具有正念的那个状态啊，因为佛号或者是一些经文，那么它都是一种正念啊，念佛念法嘛啊，然后都保持一种正念， 那保持正念的话对我们的修行就非常的重要啊，就帮助我们在日常生活中啊，在处理很多事情的时候，那么定和慧的功能比较能够发挥出来。
So using the method of recitation or mindfulness of the Buddha's name is actually an excellent approach. Because again, without a foundation in intensive meditation, it can be difficult to have this constant practice of moving meditation. So with the practice of reciting the Buddha's name or mindfulness of the Buddha, in the beginning, our practice may be a little bit more scattered, but eventually we can practice to the point where we're single-mindedly reciting the Buddha's name, and we have this balance of concentration and awareness. And again, to describe this concentration and awareness or silence and illumination, ideally, silent illumination means that one's mind is silent or not affected or not disturbed by anything, and it maintains this balance, this ability to not be agitated. So this refers to silence, this balance, stability of the mind. Even in the face of one's experience of the environment. And awareness or illumination, in order for it to be also more complete, would be that our awareness should be equal. We should have an equal awareness of all of our objects of attention. In that one's mind is not attracted to or fixated on particular things in a way that this awareness then becomes not clear. So with illumination, there should be equal awareness, and then with equal awareness, this clarity is total, or a total awareness of one's experience. So silent illumination really is this totality of concentration and awareness. Silence is balance, stability. Illumination is total awareness. And one can use reciting the Buddha's name or mindfulness of the Buddha to cultivate these qualities of mind. In the beginning, one's practice may be a bit scattered, of course. So when one is reciting the Buddha's name, maybe in the beginning the person, they have their beads, they're reciting the Buddha's name, and after a while they don't realize it, but their hand is still moving with the beads, but they're just talking to someone, talking about something else, get into a conversation, or maybe they even start scolding someone, get into an argument, but they don't realize it. They've lost their mindfulness of the Buddha. And of course, that's natural in the beginning, but when your practice matures, if you're able to continuously recite the Buddha's name in a way that your mindfulness becomes very consistent, consistent awareness of the Buddha's name and a stability of mind to maintain that recitation throughout the day and throughout one's activities, then you'd become familiar to the point that, you know, maybe you hear someone say something very, you know, not so pleasant, and immediately you have this reaction, this emotional reaction. You want to respond, but since you're so familiar with recitation, instead of just reacting and coming back with something, your next thought would be Amitabha or Amitofo, and you remember, ah, I should first be mindful, and you can return to your method for a bit and keep that in mind, and this can help to stabilize your mind and help you to have a more appropriate response. So oftentimes we see people who are very into this method of reciting the Buddha's name, very familiar. Oftentimes the first thing they say when they encounter people is Amitofo or Amitabha. And then they have something else to say, or then they engage with the person or engage with the activity. And this way, you know, even when they say that, again, hearing the sound themselves reminds them to come back to this mindfulness, this awareness of the Buddha's name. So in this way, amidst all these different activities, while engaging, they can still have this preparation of a stable and clear mind based on the recitation. And I can make maybe a crude analogy where, I don't know if you know of the kind of person who curses a lot. Maybe they grew up cursing. Ever since they were little, they just curse all the time. And now they're maybe quite advanced in age, and they're still cursing. Almost every other word is a curse. Or, you know, before they say anything, actually the first word is a curse. And, you know, they first curse, and then they're able to really express themselves and get everything else out. Maybe you know this person, kind of person with this habit. And you could say that their kung fu in this practice, or their skill in cursing, has been cultivated so well that they're able to, at any time, in any place, curse very freely and very naturally. And they always have this this happening in their mind. Now, this is an analogy where if a person can, instead of cursing, they can cultivate this mindfulness of the Buddha, that it actually becomes a kind of habit, a good habit. Not only a good habit, that it becomes something very natural, where their mind is always reflecting or recollecting the Buddha's name and always maintaining this quality of being stable and clear. So in this way, if you could practice reciting the Buddha's name like that person has practiced cursing, then you could say that your chan practice would be very good. So, you know, it's possible. It's possible to really cultivate this very excellent habit of mindfulness of the Buddha's name, where at all times and in all places you're developing this stability and clarity, or this samadhi and wisdom. Now, to really fully be able to develop this samadhi and wisdom, or silence and illumination, to the fullest, to where it's completely in balance, to where silence and illumination, or samadhi and wisdom, is a totality, to be able to develop that mental state, it's really not so easy. But that's okay. It's not that we have to expect that we'll all be able to realize that or get there, but that just by using this method, such as reciting something, again, it could be the Buddha's name, could be a mantra, could be a sutra, you know, like the Heart Sutra some people recite, or the Great Compassionate Dharani. Any of these methods where you're making use of a conscious thought or a mindful recollection, they're all excellent approaches to develop just this habit and this quality of being relaxed and clear, so that when we face situations in daily life, we won't be so disturbed by them. We'll actually be able to have more of an appropriate response, a response that comes from a stable and clear mind. So these methods of recitation are really something which can develop this samadhi and wisdom in daily life.
那所以呢，我们在日常生活中啊，要修持，那又完全没有参修的底的话呢，那么大概那念佛的法门应该是一个非常好的方法啊。那如果你觉得说自己大概没有什么因缘好好的去参修的话，那么这个方法是可以应用的。那么另外一个呢，我们说念佛念法啊。那么念法里面呢，当然念经，那么其中另外一部经典呢，也是我们在日常生活中修持，能够让我们保持心啊安定跟觉照的，就是慈悲的这个经典啊，有一部《慈心经》。那么这个经典呢，因为它的这个功能啊，就是祝福祈愿啊，祝福呢自己本身没有恶意，没有敌人。然后祝福自己呢常常快乐，然后祝福所有的人呢都没有这个恶意，没有这个敌人，然后所有的人呢都有这个快乐啊，减少这个苦恼就是少病少恼，这样祝福的话，那么常常祝福别人，祈愿别人都有这个好处的话，那么这个在自己本身的这个心里面呢，就能够产生很慈悲的一种心念。好，那如果是你对这部经也有兴趣的话，那么可以找，因为它是巴利文的经典， 然后也有人把它翻译成英文，中文也有。那么甚至呢，我们那边有一个这个音乐做这个音乐人啊，他是我的学妹，然后他也把这部经呢谱成曲了。你们大概这边都有听到《慈心经》嘛，《慈经》啊，也谱得非常的优美的这个音乐。那么这个呢，也是我们可以用来修行的方法啊，日常生活中。那么因为这部经呢，它是不断的祈愿，不断的祝福。那么在祈愿和祝福的时候呢，我们的心慢慢的就开阔了，因为我们祝福自己，祝福所有的人，祈愿自己，祈愿所有的人都快乐，然后少病少恼，那么也祈愿自己呢没有恶意啊，没有敌人。那么这样的一个过程呢，对我们修行有很大的这个帮助。所以日常生活中，我们也可以用这个经典啊，类似这样的一部经典呢，来用功修行。平时有空多念，然后呢，不只是在佛前念，随时随处呢，因为这个经典呢不是很长，而且呢它的那个内容呢都是相似的啊，祈愿的内容都相同，只是对象不一样。那我们把这个对象呢把它背起来，或者是我们自己本身在列出这个对象那这样子呢，对我们在平时用功的时候呢也有很大的帮助。因为我们的慈悲心越广大的话，那么它就具有一种定慧的功能。因为慈悲心广大，我们就不会被众生干扰，然后呢，因为我们的心都希望说众生快乐，那么希望众生快乐的时候呢，我们的心就非常的清明了，就是不模糊了啊。那这样子的过程里面呢，我们也能够把心的这种定和慧的功能很好的发挥出来。所以呢，这个也是一部大家可以用的经典。所以在日常生活中修持啊，要完全没有这个禅修的底，又要能够保持自己呢有定和慧的这个心的作用在发挥的话，念佛然后念这个经都是很好的方法啊。
So again, for those people or those of you who feel that, well, you're not so interested in doing sitting meditation, an intensive retreat doesn't really seem like the right approach for you, that using this recitation of the Buddha's name is really an excellent method for developing the stability, clarity of mind, or concentration and awareness. This is one approach of using the method of recitation. There's another approach of using recitation where you can recite not only the Heart Sutra, but a sutra called the Metta Sutra. Metta is a Pali word, and it means the Sutra of Loving Kindness. And this sutra is really something where the person who recites it is wishing that all beings, all living beings, all people, including themselves, are happy, at ease, free from sickness, free from suffering. And with this sutra, one is, you know, generating this wholesome and compassionate mindset, this compassionate state of mind, hoping that all beings and all people are really happy and at ease. So in one sense, it's cultivating compassion, cultivating this genuinely warm and wholesome character and quality of mind, which really does a great benefit to one's meditation practice, is transforming one's mind to something which is compassionate, thinking of the well-being of others. In addition, by reciting this sutra, you're also you're also cultivating concentration and awareness, in that as you're reciting the sutra, which you could memorize, it's really not too long, it's about a page or so, and by reciting the sutra word after word, you're developing concentration. Your mind is focusing on these words, on reciting these words, and at the same time you're developing awareness, in that your mind is clear. You have to be clearly aware of what you're reciting, clearly aware that your mind is not wandering off. So again, in this way, you're making use of or cultivating this quality of concentration and awareness, or silence and illumination, which is again developing this samadhi and wisdom. So in addition to reciting the Buddha's name, And, well, again, because it can be very difficult to have no foundation in chan practice, and if you didn't have any experience of sitting meditation, especially intensive retreat, to have just an approach of practicing in daily life without that, it can be quite difficult, again. So you can use recitation. That's an excellent approach to give you a solid and concrete method to return your mind to have this clear method of mindfulness. So it can be recitation of the Buddha's name. It can also be recitation of the Metta Sutra, a sutra on loving kindness. These are all excellent approaches to cultivating samadhi and wisdom in daily life.
那有关这个慈悲念的这个方法呢，在我们中国大乘佛教经典里面也有其中的一品，我们叫进行品那就是祝愿。比如说我们在做什么事情的时候吃饭啊，甚至睡觉啊，走路啊，我们都祝愿众生当然这个因为这部经典呢比较长，那这个偈颂呢大概有100多个偈颂要每个背起来可能不太容易，而且呢有一些是出家人的这个生活，那有一些呢是我们平时生活不一定会遇到的事，不过它是涵盖了我们大部分的人日常生活中所会遇到的事情。那每遇到一件事情呢，我们就做一个祝愿包括比如说我们吃饭，这个是大家最熟悉的，若饭食时当愿众生禅悦为食法喜充满那么这个是大家很熟悉，你们念三皈依的时候也是比如说皈依法当愿众生这个深入经藏智慧如海，那么还有其他建桥梁啊，建道路啊，走路啊，吃饭啊，什么这样。那有一些我们比较熟悉的，或者是在日常生活中常常会有的一些这个生活的这个作息遇到的事情，那我们可以把它背一些起来背几个我们比较熟悉的，那么常常去念它，那也是一个方法也就是说你在念的时候呢，你就是在祝愿众生。那么我们在祝愿众生的时候，当然是保持在一种很清明很安定的这个状态，那么就可以帮助我们训练我们的心然后有这种定慧的功能在运作，所以这个也是其中的一个我们可以念的一些经文
There's another practice of that makes use of recitation and which also cultivates thisquality of compassion, which is the chapter of the Avatamsaka Sutra, or it's called the Flower Adornment Sutra, on the pure practices, the chapter on pure practices. And this chapter includes about 150 verses of generating a compassionate thought, wishing that all beings are, you know, benefit.Or all beings experience a certain wholesome experience. So for example, this chapter is quite long, not necessarily easy to memorize the whole thing. Again, it's 150 verses or so. However, you can choose a few verses that correspond to activities that are similar in your daily life. Because these verses were composed for actually...a person to reflect on every activity in daily life, and in that context, actually, it corresponds mostly to the life of monastics or monks and nuns. However, a lot of these verses have to do with everyone's daily life situation, you know, walking, having a meal, washing your hands, going to the toilet, everything. There's a verse for almost every activity, and some of them you may be familiar with. When we recite the meal offering,There's a line that says, you know, with having finished this meal, may all sentient beings experience the bliss of chan and the joy of dharma. You know, you may remember that. Or when we recite the three refuges, we recite, I take refuge in the Buddha or the dharma, and we wish that all sentient beings penetrate the sutras, and realize this wisdom as deep as the ocean.These verses are actually coming from that chapter, and they're very similar to this, And you could just choose a few that you really connect with, that relate to your daily life situation, and then recite those. As you recite, you're cultivating this mindset of compassion, and at the same time, you're cultivating concentration and awareness, the stability and clarity of mind. So reciting from the chapter on pure practices is another kind of recitation or mindfulness practice which you can apply in your daily life as well.
好，我们就讲到这里，然后还是鼓励大家要在日常生活中能够既定忌讳的修行，还是要来参加我们的禅气或者禅师。
So again, we'll finish here with a talk, and just to encourage everyone to find your most suitable way to cultivate samadhi and wisdom in your own daily life. And again, though, we have to encourage everyone that it is really beneficial to come to longer retreat, intensive retreat, and to really cultivate samadhi and wisdom. So we welcome all of you to attend our retreats.